Hi, before you hop on to this week's episode, I just thought to share something exciting with you all. So as you know, we've been exploring surrogacy or surrogates in this month's theme. And as a way to just build support around this topic, I would like to share that as part of our missions to demystify, guide, and protect families on the surrogacy journey, we are now offering both personalized support and a safe community space. So it's called HOPES, which stands for Helping Our People Expand Safely. And during this time, we'll provide culturally grounded coaching, community resources, including surrogacy and CRBA. CRBA, for those who are not familiar with that, is a consular report of birth abroad. This is when you give birth to a child as a U.S. citizen outside of the U.S. and you want to bring the child back. And I know this can also extend to other countries as well. And so if you need some support around how to get that done, paperwork, getting ready for the interviews, we can provide that support. So basically, HOPES is just helping with global family building. Our team combines lived experience and professional expertise to guide families through surrogacy and CRBA processes and even infertility with care, dignity, and cultural understanding. There's an intake form to fill to get started. But you can email us on talktomo@mosibu.com or check out the show notes on how to get started. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Hi, my name is Mo, and if you don't know me, I'm the host and interlocutor of this podcast you're listening to called the Most Well Podcast. I'm also an associate professor in the College of Medicine, a scientist, cancer researcher, and also a mother. My journey to motherhood wasn't easy. It was one paved with tears and doubts. My path was not conventional either, but I'm proud of it. It is what it is. I welcomed my second child last year through surrogacy, and I believe that surrogacy is widely misunderstood, but that needs to change, don't you think? If you're unfamiliar with the term, surrogacy is a method of assisted reproduction where a woman called a surrogate carries and gives birth to a child for someone else, often referred to as the intended parents or conventional parents. Surrogacy is a very personal journey, but I'm sharing this for two reasons. One, because stories matter, representation matters, and also because I want someone out there to know that they are not alone in their struggle, that they shouldn't feel less than because this is a path that is tenable to them. So this month, I'm doing what this podcast does best, having real, honest conversations. In five episodes, I sit down with key people in this journey, medical professionals, surrogate mothers, intended parents, and legal experts. Together, we untangle the complex, emotional, and deeply human journey of surrogacy. So whether you're considering surrogacy, navigating infertility, supporting someone on this path, or just want to learn, come along for the ride. Now, enjoy the show. Hello everyone, welcome back to Surrogate, the series where we have been exploring the complex, emotional, and sometimes controversial journey of surrogacy across Nigeria. Today we are diving into the legal side of surrogacy in Nigeria, a topic that remains in a legal gray area despite its increasing prevalence. Now, while surrogacy has provided hope to many families, navigating this legal will framework is not always straightforward. Our guest today is a lawyer. He's also an expert in law, as you can imagine. And today we'll be exploring the current legal framework of surrogacy in Nigeria, what it means for aspiring parents, and the broader legal landscape. So without further ado, please join me in welcoming Mr. Gbenga Adebisi to the podcast.
Good afternoon, Mo. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for being here. And I think to kind of get us started, based on just some of my little research, I want to just lay some template down as far as the legal framework. So you can help me with that. So correct me if I'm wrong. Unlike countries with clear-cut legislation on assisted reproduction, Nigeria currently lacks a federal law specifically regulating surrogacy. So basically what we have right now is maybe like contractual agreements between parties, and maybe some ethical guidelines for medical institutions, correct?
Well, that's correct to some extent.
Okay.
If you permit me, I can shed more light on it.
Of course, yes, please. That's why I have you here.
All right. So when I say to some extent, what that means is that, yes, some persons conceive the concept of surrogacy as a contractual arrangement. You know, parties can come together, you know, and, you know, engage in it under, you know, a contractual framework. Some persons do it as such. I don't. Now, and of course, as you rightly say, there are some medical guidelines, you know, in this regard, or let me say in that regard, that provides a bit of regulation as to the processes or maybe the procedures that entails to go into surrogacy. But in terms of having a proper, comprehensive legal framework, specifically on the subject of surrogacy in Nigeria, there is none today. There is none today. Emphasis on there is none on comprehensive, dedicated legal framework. However, there are laws, okay, that indirectly regulate certain aspects of surrogacy. Yes, so that's why I put it like that. When I say surrogacy, I won't even call it subject of surrogacy. But what I mean is there are processes that surrogacy involves. For instance, you could have a process of taking, let's say, the, or it could be the egg of the lady now, or the surrogate mother, implants it, goes to some medical procedures. So that aspect of it has a bit of legal regulation in Nigeria. However, looking at the broad spectrum of surrogacy, you will agree with me that some persons are involved. Okay? And if I were to draw a list of persons that are involved, or let me say entities, number one, I will start with the medical institution where such act, you know, is being, you know, organized or being practiced. Then I'll go to the medical practitioner that is offering such counsel, medical expertise, advice, you know, whatever you want to call it. Then I go to the intended surrogate couple that are looking to, you know, engage, you know, the surrogacy process. And then you now look at the surrogate mother. I've listed about four persons now. So the last, let me not say participants, okay? But let me say the last category will be the child. What I mean by the child, at the end of the surrogacy process, the objective is for the baby, you know, to come forth and, you know, be taken, oh, this is not your child, this is not my child, and all what have you. But before you get to that process of the baby, is a process when you have the zygotes or the spermatozoa and all of those things being, you know, manipulated in a way. Do you get? So that is the last participant in the surrogacy process. So initial stage is zygote, not a fully developed human being. And ultimately, a baby comes out. And the reason I'm trying to make emphasis on this last player is because there are implications as to how you want to conceive of, you know, the significance of the child before as a zygote or maybe as a human gamete and ultimately as a product of human, you know, conception. So that is it. I know I've said a lot. In a nutshell, what I'm saying is that surrogacy involves certain processes. Those processes would involve some persons being involved. Yeah. And I'm saying that there are laws in Nigeria today that regulate how some of those persons engage or practice, you know, medical service in Nigeria. Yes. Okay. However, is there a law that encompasses all of
everything,
these, you know, stakeholders?
Probably not.
There is none.
Yeah.
So that I said, to some extent, yes, but at the single equity framework, there is none. Thank you.
And I think, and thanks a lot for shedding light into that. And I think that can also create a lot of challenges, right? Because when you're talking about how you define the product that comes out of it, was it a baby or a fetus or a zygote, you know? And depending on the stages, so timing is also very key here, right? Anything can happen at any time. Say, for example, we've had cases of a surrogate just walking up and, you know, going AWOL and not to be found. Those are very rare incidents, but that happens a lot. And of course, without the law providing some form of coverage, that could, you know, land the intending commissioning parents into, you know, a pickle. But I appreciate your clarity on the lack of comprehensiveness when it comes to the law surrounding surrogacy in Nigeria. Another thing I also wanted to go into that is that Lagos State as a whole, which is one of the many states we have in Nigeria, and correct me if I'm wrong, because since you practice in Lagos, I heard it's one of the few jurisdictions that has actually acknowledged surrogacy in practice, and they've been able to provide some legal provisions guiding, you know, for example, assisted reproductive technology. But there's still that acknowledgement that regulation is inconsistent across Nigeria. Is this an accurate statement?
Okay, so yeah, so in Lagos State, I'm aware of a bill to the extent that, in fact, some time ago, I had someone was interested, you know, in surrogacy, a client that was interested, and how to make a research, and how to visit the Lagos State, one of the Lagos State ministries that oversees the child adoption process, which also covers, or maybe the extent to this from extent. And so during the course of my interaction, or let me say my inquiry, so I want to understand that yes, there's a bill in place. Now, a bill is a law in process that is not fully concluded and assented to at the end of the day. So it's subject to review, maybe editing some parts, adding some other parts, but it's still in process. So as of today, I believe that Lagos State has not come up with a proper legislative framework. There could be guidelines, yes. I believe so.
Yeah.
But in terms of substantive law, now I need to make this distinction now by what I mean by substantive law. Now, what is law, for instance? Okay. Law are a set of guidelines that regulate human conduct, you know, in society. That's what law is basically. Now, you agree with me that in the absence of law, it means that man is a state of what you call it now.
Bedlam.
That is so short, brutish, and nasty. Anything goes. So all it does is it regulates how people interact, you know, with one another. Now that then is the issue of what's substantive law. Substantive law is a classification of law that defines the rights and obligations of, let's say, persons, entities, parties. An example of substantive law is the Marriage Act, for instance. It determines, or let's say, it defines so. How do you go into a marriage? What are the processes involved? And how do you get out of the marriage? The offspring in the course of the marriage, what happens to the offspring in the process of, you know, getting out of the marriage? That is substantive law. Substantive law is a proper law on a specific subject that takes care of the rights, obligations, and duties of specific, you know, persons and interests. And that's important to say. Do you get? And so when you say that there are regulations, guidelines, they fall roughly short of what you mean by substantive law.
Substantive law.
And the reason for that is if there is substantive law on the subject or less on the subject matter. For instance, now, let's say a surrogate mother decides to go out the world with a baby.
Yeah.
Let's say under the guise of, oh, I want to breastfeed the baby maybe for the first 1 week so that the baby is properly, you know, catered to. As she goes, then what are the rights or what are the remedy available to the intending parents? Without a substantive law, we find out that they can't do anything. It cannot do anything. So a substantive law is one that will define, okay, what is the result of the parents of an intending couple in such a case? Do you guess?
Yeah.
Having gone through this process with this couple from the outset, you are going to go through this process with them. You cannot at this stage decide to run away with the fruits of their labor, so to speak. So that's what the substantive law does. Now, there is a law in Nigeria today that I need to emphasize, which is the National Health Act of 2014.
National what? Now, the Health long Act of that, 2014. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Are you aware of the law?
Not in full details, no.
Okay, so let me read the long title of the act. It says the long title means what is the full title of a law. That's what it means. Mm. But that's not that's act. Just that's like a short title. Oh, this is what the law is. You get. But the full title of the law, what it says, an act to provide a framework for the regulation, development, and management of the national health system, and set standards, emphasis, and set standards for rendering health services in the Federation and for related matters.
Mm.
In other words, as far as clinical practices are concerned in Nigeria today, this act provides a robust framework that covers a lot of aspects.
Mm.
So some of the processes that involve in surrogacy, directly, indirectly, they are covered by this act. What if I tell you that under this act, you cannot, for compensation, let's say surrogate mother now. Yes, I think it goes to the side of a surrogate mother. Mm-hmm. A surrogate mother cannot demand for any form of compensation for offering, you know, herself as a surrogate mother. You cannot.
Most
that a surrogate mother can get, is reimbursement for cost incurred. Oh, I have to travel from Lagos to Calabar to go through the process. That is what she can get.
Mm.
You cannot get anything beyond that. Okay? Furthermore, the act, various sections of the act, I don't know if I can just read through some of them, but, you know, in a lot of detail, okay, it regulates the aspect of surrogacy that relates to medical institution, the medical practitioner, and to a minor extent, the parents. Okay? The parents.
Mm.
But it doesn't speak so much to the surrogate mother and the last factor, which is the child or the
baby itself, whatever you call it. Yeah.
But this law provides a robust framework that directly, I want to say directly, that directly regulates a lot of the aspects of surrogacy practice. So let me say processes. Do you get? If you want that, then I can go in depth to highlight some of these provisions. But at the end of the day, let me put it like, at the end of the day, once a baby is now conceived, do you get?
Mm-hmm.
And the child comes out. In the absence of a law, as of today, the law is that it cannot be seen to be involved in the act of, you know,
buying child, a child.
Whatever you are doing, once it entails some form of compensation of the order, then you are looking at child trafficking act as a different law. That regulates the standards of traffic law that regulates, you get, what do you call it now? Some other
part
aspects.
Part of surrogacy,
let me go say the last aspect of that process now, it regulates it. And in fact, Section 50 and I think 53 of the National Health Act prohibits the manipulation of any genetic material. So even as a medical practitioner, do you have the permit, do you have the authority to be able to take the embryo from somebody, put in another person, and all of those things? This act regulates the process. It even stipulates a term of 1 year imprisonment for violation, and even some fine. Do you get? But at best, I would still say that it doesn't in one whole, okay, encompass all the practices that are, let me say, dramatic personae. Let me say, dramatic characters now, so to speak. It doesn't encompass all of them. It only takes care of the medical practitioners, institution.
Yeah. Thanks for shedding light on that. So I guess two things can be true at the same time. In the absence of a comprehensive law that governs every aspect of surrogacy, would you now say it's not illegal in Nigeria because of the legal gray area, or would you say it's legal? What would be your thoughts on that?
So in response to your question as to whether I can say surrogacy is illegal or illegal in Nigeria, if that is your question, my answer to this, simple answer to this, that is this. If I were to consider the end goal of surrogacy, which is a form of assisted form of reproductive service, which entails surrogate mother, conceiving and delivering a baby, a child, on behalf of, you know, another, an intended
commission parent.
If that is the end goal, to that extent, it is not legal. Surrogacy is not legal in Nigeria. And what I say, it is not enough that some part of the processes are regulated. If the end goal of that process, okay, is not properly defined by proper substantive law, then every other point that you look through, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter that, oh, there are some medical guidelines somewhere. It doesn't matter. Under the law, if the state should decide to act based on the end process, oh, a child was given to by Mrs. A, Mrs. A then gave the baby to Mrs. B for financial benefit, so to speak. Yeah, so I'm saying if the state were to act, you know, let's say on an incel that, oh, Mrs. A, who just gave it to a child, and this, you get, yes, it is illegal. It is illegal, simply speaking. There's no way to make it euphemistic, maybe to make it a bit more, you know, nice to the ears or to the ear. You get, it's simply put, illegal, simple as that. But so, hopefully, got my distinction.
Yeah.
Hopefully, got my distinction.
Yeah.
That if the end process is the
child,
main object, is the main object, then unless there is a law that regulates the entirety of the process, the entirety of the process, then it is illegal. If you be delving into child trafficking, human trafficking, whatever you want to call it. Let me stress with the section of the National Health Act.
Okay, of 2014.
The reason is that you cannot engage in any medical practice in secrecy. You cannot do that. As a matter of fact, I think section 37, this is 37 of the act, it provides that for a medical institution, you must, okay, 24. It says that a medical facility shall have a duty, okay, to disseminate the list of medical service that they offer. Okay, let's say, welcome to an hospital now. What kind of service do you offer? That they have a duty to disseminate the list of services, or let's say now, medical service that they offer. They have a duty to disseminate that information to the public based on your work, let's say they're there. Oh, in this hospital, we offer this, we offer this, we offer this, we offer that. Do you get? Section 27 of the National Healthcare Act provides for that. It says, the federal ministry, every state ministry of health, every local government health authority, and every private healthcare provider shall ensure that appropriate, adequate, and comprehensive, that is the key word, information is disseminated and displayed at facility level on the health services for which they are responsible, which shall include type of health services, the provision of the health services, the procedures for laying complaints, the rights and duties of users of an healthcare provider, and all of that. So you run the risk of running foul of so many different laws in trying to go through surrogacy. And it's where Nigeria today. And that is the honest truth. So I feel that, yes, some part of the process are regulated, without a doubt, yes, by law, substantive law, yes.
Yeah.
But the end goal, and I put that, which is totality in essence, as lacks a proper legal, and to that extent, it is illegal in Nigeria today. And yes, some states have been futuristic about this whole situation. Lagos State is always a pace setter.
Yeah.
And I understand that there are steps in the making, you know, to have legislation on that. Even at national level, too, I think it's 2016, a bill has been struck at National Assembly on this issue of surrogacy. So, yes, efforts are ongoing, but as today, none is conclusive as we speak. So, guidelines of medical professionals is not enough. Okay? It's not enough. That is what I would say. Thank you.
So, I mean, thanks for shedding light on that. So, given that it's not legal because of the absence of federal law, right? So, because for a lot of clinics that do it currently, they involve their legal team to draw up like a memorandum of understanding, what the role of the surrogate mother would be, and the source of the genetic material, and then by the time the baby is born, there's a termination contract.
So all these things are put in place to, as a way, outline everybody's role. But at the end of the day, there's the baby coming out of it. And from your explanation, it seems like it's called, it's child trafficking if there's no federal law regulating all aspects of that. So how are health clinics in Nigeria who have their legal, their legal team drop this contract? What are they basing those contracts on, based on your initial assertions that there's no clear framework? So what's happening at the end of the day is nothing short of child trafficking.
Okay, yes. So number one, what they have done is to conceive of surrogacy and the contractual arrangements. You can argue for against that, no problem. But the law is that you cannot enforce an illegal contract. Can we have a contract done? Can you and I, can we have a contract to go and do to a third person? You can choose to do that. But if the third person, if I do not choose to do in that process, can you complain? So we have a contract to do this person. Can you then go and complain against me in court? You seek legal review. Oh, I want to tell you, Mr. Genga, I agreed to do Mr. Firewall. But in the question of duping, if I do that, then duping. You cannot go take that. You can try it, but the case will be thrown out. It's an illegal contract. So the point is, for health facilities that engage in such practices, well, as far as I know it, and in fact, let me refer to Section 13.1.1 of National Health Act. It's prescribed that without being in possession of its certificate of standards, a person, entity, government, or organization shall not, in our list of a list of subcategories, number one, establish, construct, modify, or acquire a health establishment, health agency, or health technology. The key word here now, health technology. So what we call a surrogacy as a medical practitioner does not involve some form of medical technology. It does. So in order to engage in that, the National Health Act 24 requires the hospital, so to speak, or the clinic, to have a certificate of standards to offer such technological, health technological service or procedure. So as far as I know it, speaking frankly, those are engaging in maybe act of ignorance, but they say ignorance is no defense, is no excuse.
Yeah.
So let me leave it as that. Yes. In fact, I think that if a lot of people are not conversant with the robust provisions of National Health Act, that is it. So I've seen a lot of people talk about guidelines, like guidelines there. Guidelines cannot stand in the face of the substantive law. On an issue, if you have a mountain to climb, let me put it as that. And the mountain to climb, then through that's that.
Yeah. So I can imagine that, because you said, even if they drop the contract and all that, what are you basing it on? Because anybody can just walk away, and they can't be held, liable for breach of that contract, because there's nothing supporting it.
You're right.
Yeah. Do you foresee Nigeria adopting comprehensive surrogacy laws in the near future?
Yes. So before I answer that question, so let me add to what I've said a lot about substantive law, which is the law that regulates conduct, defines rights and obligations. Now, substantive law, the following two categories. The one is what you call an act. For instance, like this surrogacy law, I would say you don't have one that is clearly defined. And the second aspect of it is what we call case law. What is case law? Case law is when parties go to court and the court pronounce on the right and the obligations of parties. You get the body of such decisions becomes case law. In Nigeria today, am I aware of any case law on surrogacy? Has any party gone to court seeking to enforce a surrogacy contract arrangements? I'm not aware of it. I'm not agreeing with you. I'm not aware that I've done that. No. And the reason is that if there's at least one case law, one law decided on this issue, it will guide subsequent cases. They're what you call stare decisis. They mean follow the decision of the court. So if one court decided an issue, a higher court, let's say for instance the Supreme Court, the court below would have to follow the templates as laid down by the Supreme Court. Do you get? And that's it. But today, is there any law, any decided case or surrogacy in Nigeria? I'm not aware of any. But I want to look at substantive law as a surrogacy law in Nigeria, so to speak. For today, there is none.
Yeah.
Comprehensively, on the subject, there is none. Is there any decided case or surrogacy in Nigeria as of today? I don't know of any. There could be, but I don't know of any reported decision on the subject. And why is that so? Your guests are good as mine. Thank you.
So wait, you can't just leave it like that. Leave that hanging like that, sir. But I guess for, because like I told you now, but shout out to Adeola Kolawole, by the way, of AA's Law Nigeria for introducing us. I wanted to just talk to a professional who could give more perspective on this, because as someone who's gone through surrogacy, as a commissioning parent, not as a surrogate, there's so many things that I saw that, you know, I realized that, man, we need to do better, especially when it comes to upholding the right of a surrogate and not using that omodo model in dealing with them. They're not paid, not like paid, but they're not treated well. They have agencies that serve as the middleman between the hospitals and the commissioning parents. And so the money that trickles down to them, as far as just supporting the pregnancy and all that, is nothing to write home about. And I guess they do that because you can't pay somebody to have your baby. So they are trying to do that all to cover themselves. But what they end up doing is just extorting the surrogates. And so I just thought to talk to a lawyer. And from your first voice to that, I realized that, my goodness, we've been doing things illegally. So I guess my question for you will be, for people who are considering, you know, who are considering doing surrogacy in Nigeria, what would be your suggestions to them? People like me, who, you know, you tried your natural way, but it's not really helping, and you know that it's a lot more affordable doing it back home in Nigeria. What would you suggest doing? And they want to do things right.
Maybe it's a tough call to make, to be honest with you. Honest with you. Maybe in the form of a contract. Maybe at best to reduce the elements of financial inducements, which then, you know, dovetails into child trafficking. Maybe at best we can look at, okay, is there a close relative that is voluntary? So as much as possible to reduce to the bare minimum the insinuation or the likelihood of, okay, maybe this was done as some of child, you know, maybe hospital kind of business, child park, and all those things. So, to reduce that possibility, use engage a close family relative. And like you said, the third parties that facilitate some of these things, they just try to swindle or rip off the surrogate mother who goes through the process, you know. But speaking on the subject now, at best, maybe you can have more support groups, more NGOs, more health care-focused groups, organizations, and maybe even leading health institutions to draw a lot more light to the subject of surrogacy.
Yeah.
So as we awaken, resurrect, you know, the dead and buried attempts to provide for a comprehensive legal framework on the subject of surrogacy in Nigeria. That'll be my most sincere advice.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for putting those together, because those are some of the things we actually talked about when I brought the nurse as well to, you know, share their own experiences. There's a lot of overhaul that needs to be done, especially in protecting the rights of the surrogates, considering that they are the ones that bear the biggest burden of this, to their body, to their mental health, and, you know, everything they are pulling together to make magic happen for commissioning parents, to now think that they're not being, you know, treated well. I guess... for surrogacy questions, those are a little bit, I think I'm done for now, but I'm just curious to know a little bit more about your practice and what drew you to law as a profession in the first place.
Okay, well, for practice, it brings back a lot of memories now. Ordinarily, I was admitted to study English at the Obafemi Law University. I think that was 2005 or so. But surprisingly, I got good habits. In my second year, I was allowed to make a switch to the study of law.
Lucky you, because that hardly ever happens. You hear the other way around. You want to study law, they give you English. Yes.
Yeah, I know. So that was how my journey started. And then, of course, it's been an interesting journey. Started out working in the commercial bank, FCMB. Straight out from law school, with my NYC days. And from there, I went into a proper litigation law firm, a leading property law firm in Lagos, Ebony Borough ICN & Co. Maybe I did that for about 2 years. Then from there, I joined the leading maritime law firm in Nigeria, Ebony & Co. And I did a lot of maritime cases, arresting ships, just like you arrest a human being. Interestingly, I got some people arrested this month, interestingly. and I also got them released. Yeah. So you can imagine doing that to a ship, you know, a ship that's on the high sea. You also do that.
Wow.
So I did that for a couple of years where I worked. The second law firm where I worked. And after that, started out my own practice, my turn legal, in 2020. And by grace of God, we are thriving, we are doing well. Started from, I remember vividly, it was a workstation somewhere in Surulere that I started out. Now we have our office fully set up in Ikeja, very close to the operating about. I have about a staff of about 7 or 8 full complement of staff that we're doing, you know, they all played a lot of practice together. It's been an interesting journey so far. So good.
Wow. So it's been how many years now? 20. You started your practice in 2020, right?
Yeah, on my own, yes. 2020 on my own, yes. But before then, I started law practice in 2012.
Okay, wow. 2012. So it's been 13 years now of just, you know, doing law and all that. Congrats on all of your strides, especially how you're able to move from English to law. Never heard of that happening in an Nigerian university before, so... And
it does. What in the blue moon?
You have to have long legs, you know. It's not something you just hear like, you know, oh, it happened like that. Maybe you need somebody that needs somebody.
No. What can happen was that. So I went through the PDB process in OAU in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So I put into study law. Along the process, the NUC accredited law in OAU and some schools at the time. So by the time we finished our program, 1 year program, there was no opportunity to go into law for, you know, year one in OAU. So everybody were flung into different courses, history entire, English, and all what have you. So, you know, I had the old man, if it's English, it's English, but I must study. You know, I love the institution. And then out of the, when I had totally given up hope from being able to get to study law, out of the blue, so, if I cannot go into study your law, you could have wanted law from the outset. So that was the story, actually.
Okay.
It was a miracle, yes. It was a miracle, yes.
Okay. And how do you balance your busy career and make time for family and other hobbies that you have?
Well, talking about hobbies, I'm not sure I have so many, but I love to consume a lot of information. If you call that a hobby, then that's a real hobby for me. I love to consume a lot of news. And when I mean news, I don't mean blog and all that. I mean, world news, global politics, and all what have you. But then, of course, after balancing the, side of things, it can be really challenging. You know, you keep working, but I realize that work never ends. There's always work to do.
Yeah.
So I told myself, you know what, whatever happens, don't go home with your laptop, leave it at the office. If I go with it, I continue to work at home. Yeah. So what I do is Monday to Fridays, I drop my laptop out of the office. Then I get to the rest at home and have my wife, after with my kids. Whatever happens, the following day, we continue at the office. So I try to use that to regulate, how I manage the, the balance, like you said. But it's really important to have that view. They don't take, things for granted. And maybe even overwork yourself. So that's what I do as a person. Try and balance, my work, personal life.
Okay. And thanks for sharing that. And for people that are upcoming, especially young ones trying to get into law, what are some tips you like to recycle on making it?
Well, when it comes to law practice, I think the important thing you must realize is that you need to have the zeal to be a lawyer. As a lawyer, you need to have the passion to stand up for what you believe in, not just for yourself, but on behalf of other people. And it could mean you going against, people that are, high up there in authority, and all that. But you need to have that, number one. And number two is to have a focus. Law is very vast, it's very wide. I mean, this part of surrogacy, I got into it last year because I had an inquiry on this subject, and I had to do a lot of research, to educate myself. But then there are people that all they do is around family law, which entails or husband and marriage type issues, will, problem, and all those things. And the other side as well, like I said, maritime is about shipping. So law is very robust and wide. Yeah. So when I mean focus, look, as a lawyer, I need to consider one or two areas of law and own your skills in those areas. You can't know it all. You can just have a good level of general knowledge about many things, for instance. But two areas or three areas is enough. And then you form, you know, build a reputation in those areas. And you are ready to coach, I tell you, any time. In what I do now, so now I do a lot of property, you know, transactions in Lagos. And then open to grow into the shipping business I talked, the shipping part that I talked about, because that's an elevated area of practice of law in Nigeria. It doesn't come easy, but so you need to build, you know, step by step. So just where I've built my reputation in the property sector, I'm also beginning to build, you know, my network. So not lack of capacity in that field, no, it's about having the network and having the name that can get you the brief, so to speak. So that was my advice.
Thank you so much. And I really I love your advice, especially the importance of knowing that you can't know it all, but that shouldn't stop you from developing yourself as much as you can and using all of the tools and all of that. And law is so vast, you know, almost like try as many parts of it and decide where you really want to, you know, hone your skill and be very great at it. And thank you so much for coming to the podcast. Yeah, yeah.
I tell you.
I can't even imagine how, I mean, I studied pharmacy and we don't have so many options, but I can't even imagine with law because the task and just, you know, yeah, it seems like a whole beast to like handle, but kudos to you and everybody else, you know, making it happen.
Yeah, thank you. In law, what is an illiterate? It's an area, or let's say body of that you don't care about. In that area, you're an illiterate.
Oh,
wow. I've all the time. So it's a market of love. I consider myself an illiterate.
Oh, wow. Can you imagine? You're actually a lawyer. You can still say that. Yeah.
Just saying what happens. Yeah. So, I mean, that's something I've never done before. If I to have such matter, I have to call someone that knows this. I don't do those things. But it is what it is. I'm not, you know, I think I'll say this is what I know and this is what I don't know.
So yeah. Such humility. I should just say that even when the first time I chatted with Lawyer DBC, I realized that there's so many things I didn't know about. Sorry, Casey. And it really put me in a spot of, wow, like, if I had known of this going in, would I have still gone ahead with surrogacy? Because I had a lot of, for the first time I had the initial consultation with the physician that we ended up using, I had so many questions. And he looked at me and said, everyone that comes into this, you know, consultation room has never asked me all these questions they ask you. Because I was asking him about the surrogates, like, you know, how are they treated? You know, well, who houses them? How much do you get out of this? I said, parents don't ask this question. Like, are you the surrogate or the one wanting the pregnancy, you know, wanting the baby and all that? And even hearing this, I mean, bringing this lawyer on the podcast is not really helping me as someone has gone through surrogacy because it exposes a lot of my flaws as well. But I still wanted to have this conversation because I think it's an important one to have, even though it's casting me in not a very good light. And now that I know better, the hope is that while surrogacy is still widely practiced, what Lawyer DBC has shared today really clarifies what needs to be done, especially in upholding the rights of the surrogates and also creating awareness for commissioning parents. There are a lot of legal loopholes and contracts being drawn up here and there, but then the question is, what is the basis of those contracts being drawn up, right? But there's hope, right? Nigeria moving towards formal legislation. I'm curious to see what legal protections could look like in the future and what needs to happen for surrogacy to be legally recognized. So if you're considering surrogacy in Nigeria or you want to understand the legal landscape, this episode is for you. We hope that you do it the right way, like some of us that didn't know, and now we know better. In any event, thank you so much, DBC, for coming on the podcast, and I really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right, then. Enjoy the rest of the day, and run regards to your family.
Yeah, I'll be sure, bye.
All right, bye. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.